to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for April 14th, 2024, the third Sunday of Easter, by Reverend Ben Adams.
Well, good morning, dear people of St. Philip's. He is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Still doesn't get old, even after 2 weeks. We might be a little rusty, but it's okay. Well, it is good to be back with you. And for those of you who I didn't get to meet last time I was here during Father Eric's sabbatical last year, it was that Sunday where we had the 50s celebration afterwards and we sang karaoke. Anyways, if you weren't there, you really missed a great time at that point. And I'm sorry that you missed it. But two, if you did miss me that time as well, my name is Ben Adams, and I serve as the chaplain for our Detroit and Dearborn campus ministries called All Together. We are in Dearborn and Detroit on the campuses of Wayne State University, Henry Ford College, and the University of Michigan in Dearborn. And some of you might recall that the last time I was here, I also shared with you about a trip that our campus ministry was planning to take to the Holy Land. Well, due to the events of October 7th, as well as the ongoing siege and genocide in Gaza, we have indefinitely postponed that pilgrimage. But we have been doing everything we can from this side of the world to pray and to advocate for an immediate and permanent ceasefire. This was a hard decision, but ultimately, it was the right one. And in place of that pilgrimage, in this coming month of May, we will still be taking a trip. But instead, the Holy Lands will be headed down south for a civil rights pilgrimage instead. Along the way, we'll be visiting Nashville, Memphis, Birmingham, Selma, Montgomery, and Atlanta. So we covet your prayers for the 15 of us that will be taking that road trip from May 5th to 10th. And I love road trips with my students. I just want to say that first and foremost. But along the way, I know that as we are crammed in this van together for 30-some hours on the road, I fully expect that I will be inundated with music that I've never heard before, as well as memes. We share a lot of memes in our ministry, and I usually require an explanation to understand most memes that are shared with me by my students. Memes, by the way, are images, videos, or pieces of text that are typically humorous in nature, and they are copied and spread across the internet via social media. So that's what a meme is, and they often move very fast. It's hard, really, to keep up with all the memes out there. And there are often niche references in each of them, and that's why they require sometimes an explanation. I'm sure Quentin understands them all, though. But there was one meme that I saw recently during March Madness. It was circulated around during the men's basketball tournament. And while it was funny, it was also honest. It was one of the more honest memes that I've seen in a long time. And it was a meme from a Boston College basketball game press conference. And I'm going to attempt to explain the meme, which is somewhat hard to do, so bear with me as I do this. But there's this player at the press conference, and his name is Cliff. And it's obviously the last game of his college career. So one of the reporters in the audience asks him, "What are you going to take away as your best memory from playing for Boston College?" And this player, Cliff, he starts to answer right away. He says, "Probably just like," and then he pauses and he puts his head down. He's obviously overcome with emotions. He's trying to collect himself to get the answer out. It takes a while. He puts his head down for some amount of time, and there's this just tense silence in the room. Everybody's waiting to hear this potentially profound or very heartwarming answer that he has to that question of what his favorite memory or what is his lasting memory of playing for Boston College. And finally, after a long, long silence, Cliff picks his head back up to the microphone and he says, "Going out to eat." And while that seems like a funny answer to give, that going out to eat would be his best memory of playing college basketball at the highest level. This moment in the press conference was so powerful to me in that it is just so honest, right? And to me, this guy, Cliff, he gets it, right? He gets it. It wasn't the games, it wasn't the practices, it wasn't the lessons from the coach, or all the other things that we would probably likely expect Cliff to express as his best memories. No, it was none of those things. It was the simple and profound act of breaking bread with his teammates that is the memory he will carry with him. And I think the fact that so many people found that moment in the press conference so funny and meme-worthy is evidence that maybe we have lost a sense of how important breaking bread and meals they truly are. But I said, Cliff gets it, right? When all is said and done, the thing that Cliff is holding on to more than all the other memories made are those memories that he shared around a table, vulnerably confessing his need for sustenance and relationship with his teammates. And in those simple but powerful moments, that's when Cliff's memories were made and when Cliff's community of teammates was built. So in today's gospel, we shouldn't take it for granted how powerful and profound it is that after the resurrection, Jesus comes back and appears to his disciples, his friends, and he's hungry. So he asks if they have anything to eat. See, even in his resurrected form, Jesus still retains his humanness. Jesus may have just defeated death, but in doing so, Jesus is not some superhero that now has no needs or vulnerabilities. Jesus still needs to eat. And so, in his appearance to the disciples today, he confesses his hunger to them, and they provide him with some royal fish. And while this might be an overlooked part of the gospel, this is good news, people. It's good news that Jesus didn't just resurrect in some spiritual or superhero-like way, but rather right back to the same fragile and precious human body that he walked this earth before his death. This is why we confess when we say the Apostles' Creed that we believe in the resurrection of the body. This body, your body, this whole creation's body will experience that resurrection. Because if we too have been bound to a death like Jesus's, then won't we also be bound to a resurrection like his? Isn't that what Paul teaches us in his letter to the Romans? And the act of breaking bread, especially here today at this Eucharistic feast, it's not just a confession of our vulnerability and need for food. It's also a testament to the resurrection of the body. So I'd like to read to you one of my favorite poems about the bodily materiality of Jesus' resurrection. This is a poem by John Updike, and it's called Seven Stanzas at Easter. Make no mistake, if he rose at all, it was as his body. If the cell's dissolution did not reverse, the molecule re-knit, the amino acids rekindle, the church will fall. It was not as the flowers, each soft spring recurrent. It was not as his spirit in the mouths and fuddled eyes of the 11 apostles. It was as his flesh, ours. The same pinched thumbs and toes, that the same valved heart that pierced, died, withered, paused, and then regathered out of enduring might, new strength to enclose. Let us not mock God with metaphor, analogy, sidestepping, transcendence, making of the event a parable, a sign painted in the faded credulity of earlier ages. Let us walk through the door. The stone is rolled back, not paper mache, not a stone in story, but the vast rock of materiality that in the slow grinding of time will eclipse for each of us the wide light of day. If we have an angel at the tomb, make it a real angel, weighty with Max Planck's quanta, vivid with hair, opaque in the dawn light, robed in real linen, spun on a definite loom. Let us not seek to make it less monstrous for our own convenience, our own sense of beauty. lest, awakened in one unthinkable hour, we are embarrassed by the miracle and crushed by remonstrance. Love that. Love that poem. Just how definite and material makes the bodily resurrection. So when we break bread, dear people, here today, every day, wherever our tables are, that we will be breaking bread together, I encourage you, remember the miracle that is you, the powerful yet vulnerable and needy person that is you, reaching out for sustenance and relationship. But also let us remember the power of the resurrection that Jesus has accomplished in his bodily, human form, a resurrection that blesses all bodies. This meal we share here today around this table, it's a testament to this bodily resurrection. This same body of Jesus here that was resurrected is broken for you, so that we would become the broken body of Jesus for the world. The Lord knows the world needs this blessed and broken body of the risen Christ. Cliff from the meme, he gets it. That breaking of bread with each other, it's still the most memorable, powerful, profound, and radical act that we can do together. It's both a confession of our humanness and a confession of our belief in the power of the bodily resurrection. So let's eat.